Welcome to the Federal Executive Forum series on Federal News Network, proudly celebrating 16 years. Here's your host, Luke McCormack.
Good afternoon and welcome to this month's show. I'm Luke McCormack. During today's show, we will discuss best practices with IT modernization programs and strategies in the federal government. With me on today's show are George Duchek, Chief Information Officer, Defense Logistics Agency; Robert Leahy, Chief Information Officer at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center; Jim Watts, PMIS Program Manager, Performance Management Group at TSA; Lamont Copeland, Director of Federal Solutions Architect, Verizon; Stephen Moon, Data Platform Architect, Office of the Field CTO, Snowflake; and Katie Tierney, AVP Digital Services and Operations Management of the Americas at BMC Software. Well, this is a very timely subject. We've got a TMF out there with $1 billion. We've got an executive order that's requiring us and asking us and encouraging us to modernize and harden our environments. Got a lot of zero trust activities going on out there. And I think all of us realize that the when we modernize, we address the security issues, and we also deliver that promise to our end environment, whether that be the citizen, the astronaut in this case, the warfighter, et cetera, the traveling public. George, let me start with you. Give us a state of how IT modernization is going. Maybe a little bit on, how big is Defense Logistics Agency? I can't imagine the massive footprint that it must be global, right?
It is a global organization. We're in about 23 countries, 46 states, roughly 27,000 employees, and our annual revenue is about $43 billion a year. And we are a working capital fund. So we, unlike other DoD organizations where they work on appropriations, we have to operate much like a regular business does. We have to buy products at scale and then pass those savings on to our customers, largely the services and other government agencies, and then put a small operating load on each one, on everything we sell just to cover our operating costs. So yes, a global organization.
Very much a global organization. I would say, 23,000, that's pretty lean and mean for a global organization that's serving essentially millions of folks out there, and certainly a very sizable budget. Robert, how about at NASA? Maybe you can tell us, first of all, what is Goddard Space Flight Center versus Kennedy Space Flight Center or Langley or, Wallops Island, et cetera, and then tell us, how are we modernizing space and everything on the ground associated to space?
Hey, Luke, good morning, everybody. NASA Goddard Space Flight Center is one of 10 centers around the country that support various NASA missions. Goddard focuses on sciences, planetary science, heliophysics, earth sciences, et cetera, and has one of the largest, if not the largest, concentration of scientists in the world. We service about 10,000 customers, very much focused on science. And of course, to conduct that science, we use satellites. So we have over 80 missions, satellite missions around the Earth, out into deep space, et cetera, where we're collecting information and bringing information back to allow our scientists to do the work that they're doing. For us, modernization means using various cloud technologies, et cetera, to advance and move forward on our missions to give them a better operating platform. We have missions, for example, Hubble spacecraft, Hubble Space Telescope that's been in orbit for 30 years now. So we've got to continue to modernize those ground systems to support Hubble.
That's impressive. I didn't realize it was 30 years. And I know that you all are got other massive telescopes in the pipeline there. Robert, Jim, how about at TSA? The traveling public is ramped up and ready to go. I know there's a lot of activity going on over there. A lot of things that were discovered and tested, as I understand, during the COVID process. Tell us about what's happening as far as IT modernization.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for the question. There's been a great deal of focus on migrating applications and systems from data center to the cloud. We've actually been able to use that as an opportunity to upgrade and really modernize things like Office 365 and the emails and iShare. We're working on that. We're also using this as an opportunity, using and applying the federal data strategy to see how we can leverage data across the agency and create those key data sets. So this is really helping us improve operations.
You mentioned data center too, just maybe an explanation as to what that is. Folks may not know, understand what data center two means.
Certainly, it is a physical location that is actually managed by the Navy. And for a number of years, TSA and other components of Homeland Security house their applications there. There was an effort over the last several years to move out of that system, mm-hmm. or out of that location. So we're able to meet those deadlines. And then in the process, as I mentioned, we were able to, if we had to move somewhere, we're going to move, in this case, a number of things to the cloud.
Gives a great opportunity. Obviously, there was a data center one, a data, I think some other folks on previous shows have talked about that. And right, so you have sort of this ecosystem of a hybrid environment out there now, which is fantastic. Lamont, how about at Verizon? You all are seeing things from a very broad perspective, and it's sort of game on now as everyone starts to modernize. And the Verizon ecosystem, such an important part of making that happen.
Yes, Luke, thanks. Yeah, it is a very important part of that, because what we want to do is make sure that we're partnering with every one of our fellow people in the federal industry to make sure that we're helping to bring that innovation, bring the change that's necessary to be able to bring in new technology, bring in these services, and also help keep it modern along the way. There's a lot of efforts that are going on with the government to try and modernize and then, you know, stay and keep the pace and actually help advance and move where technology is supposed to be going and where they would like to see it go. And we want to make sure that we're helping part of that, whether it's bringing things from a network side, bringing in the cloud infrastructure, bringing in 5G, all those things to be able to say, how do I advance the mission forward for what you're doing on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's really interesting to modernize your environment that you're in and coming out of, and also take advantage of this emerging technology, such as cloud, such as 5G, such as some of these hybrid techniques and toolkits and instrumentation that's available to make all these things happen. Speaking of technology toolkits and capabilities, Stephen, Snowflake, such a big part of modernization, right? At the end of the day, it's about the data, right? I always say the bad actors don't get into these environments to look around and see how cool it is. They get in there to get access to that data. And you all are doing some fantastic things in regards to processing, making that available so people can make informed decisions. Tell us what it looks like out there across the spectrum.
Yeah, so I think one of the first trends I'm starting to see is more and more realization that data operations, which is a lot of what I work with our customers with, is really an organizational capability. It's not an IT function, right? So it's, you know, IT is definitely a big component of it, but if you think about building a aviation platform in the Army, like a helicopter, for example, you know, it's the means is a warfighting capability, not IT. And so I think more and more organizations are realizing that data operations is an organizational capability. But then I would say the second thing is organizations are looking at, you had data warehousing and data lakes, and now you've got the term data mesh people have probably heard of. But I think what they're realizing is having a single data platform that can cover, you know, all the different types of data and the volume, velocity, variety and stuff coming in, having a single point of entry for that data, having a single security model for that data, all those things really not only enable the capabilities of your data operations platform, but also reduce the risk, right? That, you know, say complexity is the enemy of security. And so being able to do that, leveraging multiple clouds vendors, that's something that's really come about. We're seeing a lot from our customers is that, you know, they want that ability to not only leverage and run their data operations in multiple clouds, but also to be able to share data. And so there's some unique capabilities that Snowflake has that allows customers to share data in a secure way that really can take advantage of that across their organization.
Data in so many different places, a lot of data being collected, right? There's a lot of instrumentation out there. You think of IoT, et cetera, all this processing that's happening at the edge. And being able to pull that together into some meaningful way and, again, make those advanced, quick decisions really important. Well, Katie, speaking of instrumentation, BMC very much involved in that, along with a lot of other things, super important as these environments get more modern, get more complex. You've got to have advanced ways to make sure you're managing all this. Tell us what's happening at BMC Software.
Yeah, so at BMC, we're seeing our customers, particularly in the DoD space, moving sometimes begrudgingly towards modernization. We know that it's basically a government mandate now, but sometimes they're struggling with it. But when they are focusing on modernization today, they're looking really at three key areas. They're looking at automation, they're looking at a move to SaaS, and they're looking at consolidation. When you take a look at a lot of the organizations out there, particularly if you're thinking about enterprise service management, a lot of our DoD and civilian agency customers have service desks that are all over the place. And in order for them to modernize, they're realizing they've got to take control of that and bring that together. And the move to SaaS really fulfills that continual modernization. Because when you have things on premises, it's a lot easier for you to say, we're just not going to upgrade. We're not going to take advantage of those new capabilities. When you go into SaaS and you're looking at FedRAMP or you're looking at IL4, IL5, IL6, you're going to be taking advantage of those capabilities, and it's actually going to accelerate the modernization that the organizations are seeing. And we're seeing that with our customers who are in SaaS today. They really are able to adopt the innovation a lot more quickly, which makes them more modern from an information technology perspective. And lastly, I talked about automation. Being able to automate things like system access authorization requests and things that used to take 5 or 6 or 7 days and now having them down to 5 minutes has really helped drive modernization around our federal customers.
Right, it takes a lot of those sort of rote processes off the table, makes them very clean, modernized, automated and accurate, which I think is super important so that they can focus on some of these higher order activities. Speaking of higher order, going to go back to you, Robert, at NASA. Every time I turn around, there's another rocket going off. And you've raised a good point and really illustrated some of the other things that NASA is doing, some of the very important things they're doing in regards to the environment, et cetera. Give us a specific program that you'd like to highlight in regards to some modernization activity that's going on. It's really helping NASA fulfill its mission.
So we started at Goddard about 18 months ago. We started a cloud program for our flight projects. As I mentioned earlier, we've got over 80 projects that have ground missions. And each one of these projects is, and I'll use the term, and it's kind of ironic with the discussion today, a snowflake, right? Each one has been built up individually, et cetera, and they are run by the flight projects. We're providing platforms now to give them a migration path to move to a GovCloud, moderate FISMA, and we're looking to build out a FISMA high environment because we have several projects that require that. This will give the projects the ability to upgrade their cybersecurity capabilities, use common controls and things like that. Actually, you mentioned TMF earlier. We've got a TMF proposal in right now that's past phase one and going into phase two to fund the build out of this infrastructure. So this is really providing that infrastructure layer to our projects and looking for commonalities and ways that we can provide baseline services that are consumable and highly secure and will support all of our projects.
Consumable, highly secure, affordable, and yes. And there when you need it, right? I mean, so that you can just put the building blocks on that and these software development folks can just go and do the things that they need to do to sort of, again, to fulfill that promise. We talked about Snowflake. You mentioned it, Stephen. I'm going to jump down to you. Give us a specific program that you'd like to highlight where an agency, an entity, a sector is modernized using this type of capability that you'd like to bring to the listening audience here.
Sure. I mean, I'll talk in generally probably data sharing is the biggest thing, not only within, specific CSPs, but across different cloud vendors, cloud service providers. And so that's been one of the biggest things, not only data sharing, but secure data sharing, being able to set up data exchanges where, I can give access to, from say like the science community, for example, right? I want to create data products for the science community and I want to be able to share that with them, give them pretty much unlimited compute power to run their jobs, do their activities against that, without actually having to move the data, pretty much instantaneous access to it. So that's been a huge ask from customers that Snowflake's delivered on is being able to share data pretty much universally in a secure way. Coming from the background that I do, security is, you know, of the utmost importance, right? Because you don't have security, you don't have anything else. And so that's one of the key things, that being able to, you know, classify data and, you know, provide different levels of security in different manners as part of that sharing context has been huge as well. So there's a lot of things in that that, you know, we could talk about. It's, you know, making data fit for use and fit for purpose, if people remember Once Upon a Time with IDOL. But really integrating all of that into a single platform and sharing that in an instantaneous way that allows what I call communities of interest or consumers of that data, whether they be data scientists or geneticists, instant access to that data with pretty much unlimited compute in a concurrent way, so that they're, you know, you can have large numbers, large teams, independent teams working without stepping over each other, so to speak.
Right. And super important to stitch all that together, a really basic tenement to a tenant of this modernization activity. George, let's talk about DLA. You gave us an explanation of sort of the global footprint. Give us a state of the IT program, and maybe specifically highlight one of the activities that you're doing there that is addressing the needs of the warfighter.
Yeah, I think you may know that we're undergoing a fairly massive, a substantial upgrade to our IT infrastructure, really first major upgrade in about 30 years. So it's a huge lift for the agency. But one of the examples I'd like to give, and it may sound very trite or a small thing to your audience, is simply change the name, though, from IT modernization to digital hyphen business transformation. Mm. You read a lot in the literature about, you know, digital transformation. I haven't seen a whole lot that couples digital hyphen business, that couples the two together. And IT modernization to digital business transformation, that coupling is important. And it's more so than you think, because words matter. And IT modernization connotes an IT focus and an IT-led initiative. And modernization really isn't about IT. It's about using IT to solve current and emerging business problems. So this means that the business needs to relook, rethink its current business model. It has to be a partner with IT. They have to look at their business model, say, does this still make sense? We have different tools. Can we improve performance? So simply changing the name to this digital hyphen business transformation, we call it DBX in DLA. It couples the business perspective to the digital perspective, and the business now is a primary stakeholder and has a vested interest in the success of modernization, rather than being on the sidelines thinking that, oh, it's just an IT thing.
Right. I think it's really important, right, to let's start with the operator. Let's start with the warfighter. Let's understand what they need. And then perhaps it's a business process. Maybe it's taking out some process. And certainly it's going to be introducing some type of technology at some point in time, but it's not, hey, we're going to start with the technology and then go find the problem. So
exactly.
Right. Which I think is very important. There's a lot of activity in that area. And I think that's going really well. All right. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Network.
Is your federal agency maintaining legacy IT, which could potentially be a cause for security risk? To serve the public with the security, speed, scale, and efficiency they have come to expect in the private sector, it's time to modernize. An expensive rip and replace is not the only way. Migrate your enterprise service desk to the AWS GovCloud with BMC for low risk, low cost, and a rapid time-to-market solution. Modernize with BMC in the AWS GovCloud. Visit bmc.com/federal to learn more.
Snowflake is the FedRAMP-approved data cloud. Federal agencies require agility and the ability to securely share data within and among organizations and across multiple clouds. With Snowflake, agencies can focus on putting data to use with unlimited scale and speed on the centralized data platform that satisfies the strictest compliance and security requirements. Start your journey toward data-driven decision-making at snowflake.com/government. That's snowflake.com/government.
Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon, we don't wait for the future, we build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.
Welcome back to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Network. We're talking about IT modernization. We were just getting into some specific programs. And Katie, I'd like you to highlight an area that you'd like to highlight for the listening audience in regards to a specific program that BMC is involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. I have been really excited to be involved in this particular program for the last several years. We're supporting a DoD agency with over 300,000 active duty and 275,000 civilians. They had an issue where they had over 100 service desks throughout the organization that were trying to support various groups of warfighters, various groups of people back back stateside. And they were struggling because there was just so much disparate information that it was making it hard for them to deliver services in a timely manner and deliver services in a way that actually made sense for the mission. So what they did is worked with some systems integrators who leveraged the BMC Helix platform to pull those service desks together in an IL4 environment and actually deliver out instead of a service desk, or to George's point about digital business transformation, instead of IT, they now have an enterprise service management platform that's modernized and is going to help them succeed in the future as they look beyond just IT. They look at how can we bring in some of the things from facilities? How can we look to the edge, which you mentioned before, Luke, and pull that information in? And they've got that platform now, and it's been a really exciting project for us to be involved in.
Really key aspect of installing this type of capability way beyond just instrumentation and allowing them again to build on top of that to create this superpower of an ecosystem to deliver the goods, so to speak, and allow them to enable their mission, which I think is fantastic. Glad to hear that. Jim, how about over at TSA? There's a lot of cool stuff going on over there right now. And I've heard about touchless entry and all kinds of different crazy things going on. Give us an example of a program you'd like to highlight, some activity that's going on over there at TSA.
I would really like to highlight the human capital modernization that has recently rolled out. This is really given an opportunity and then aligned to the federal data strategy to look at the person, the identity of a person, and be able to follow this from an applicant to a candidate to an employee to a retiree. So it's really looking at the lifecycle management of that data and then working to improve the user experience, working to share that data. We are using that as a building block now to look at airport operations. It's just often much more difficult to upgrade and modernize those operational activities. So we're able to do that. We are able to also leverage good practices where we have hub spoke management. So at TSA, the authority really is with the federal security directors. So that's kind of lower level than just headquarters. But we need to be able to support that as they carry out the mission. We are able to do that through a lot of self-service management, self-service data access, and really application access that we don't handle necessarily at headquarters, but we push out to those 85 or so federal security directors.
So those are the directors that are out in the field sort of running that airport operation, I would imagine.
Yes, that includes, for example, Arizona, the entire state.
Right. And one wouldn't think, you think HR, right? And modernizing HR, obviously important, but is it key? Absolutely, it's key. You all are hiring in thousands and thousands of these inspectors along with all these other people monthly, I would imagine, or certainly yearly. And certainly all of us that are the traveling public want to make sure that's going as efficiently as possible. So I'm glad to see that you're modernizing that activity. Lamont, let's talk about at Verizon. A lot of activity going on over there. Give us an example of a program that you'd like to highlight where you're right smack in the middle of one of these IT modernization activities or digital modernization, I think, as George pointed out.
Yeah, no, thanks, Luke. And yeah, and definitely want to hit on too with the business processes that George was talking about. I mean, we're looking at in the defense space with the DoD, with a couple of the combatant commands on how we modernize their networks and the enterprise IT as a service. And what's key about that is we're looking at it from the end user standpoint and how do we start delivering services to the end user in a better way? So it's more than just looking at how do we just do a tech refresh or tech upgrades, but how do we then start in tandem, upgrading the network services, providing connectivity between the all the compute infrastructure, other applications. How do we make sure that the network is available for them to be able to go out and get to any of these applications from anywhere on a base or coming outside of a base so that they can make sure that they're continuing to move that mission forward. So it's really looking at how do we unify all the technologies together, network, compute, applications, make sure it's a seamless environment for those end users to be able to work and move their mission forward. Our main thing that we want to make sure is that we're working together with the Department of Defense to advance that mission, advance what they want to do, and then also assist with making sure that they're not just looking at this again like as a tech upgrade, but then they're looking at this from how do I now provide more services? How do I continue to innovate? And how do I continue looking at what each one of my end users need for, so that they can continue moving forward with what they have on a day-to-day basis and not have to worry about what's happening on the back end for the network?
Right. And I think Katie pointed out sort of gone are the days of sort of this tech upgrade. It's like, hey, I just need this a capability and I need it on demand, right? I need it when I need it. And I need it to be secure, reliable, affordable. And I need it quickly, right? We can't go through these lengthy upgrade cycles, which are sort of something I would say from the past. Let's hope. Robert, let's talk about priorities. I'd like you to give you talked about a lot of things that you're working on over there at NASA. Let's talk about the top three, right? I'm sure you got 30. When you look at this year, what you're trying to do from now to the end of the year, a few months out from that, what are the top three priorities in your job jar there?
Top three. So the biggest one is we are realigning all the NASA OCIO assets, everybody who does work within the OCIO shop across the 10 centers under a new concept of service line. So enterprise services, trying to improve the customer experiences, be more effective and efficient with our dollars, our limited dollars and things like that. So that is huge. That's going to affect every OCIO employee at NASA. Next would be modernization. I've mentioned our cloud modernization efforts. And then third, and I heard somebody mention this too, digital transformation, supporting the agency in digital transformation. We are looking to provide platforms to allow our rocket scientists and other scientists who are truly really smart people, the platforms to use AI and ML and other types of advanced tools to conduct their research and to analyze data and things like that. So those to me are really three of our top priorities that we're dealing with at Goddard.
Big one, certainly a massive one, and really setting the table to allow all these other things to be enabled, which sounds fantastic. Stephen, how about at Snowflake? No doubt you all are got a lot of activity going on internally within Snowflake, and I'm sure you're getting a lot of demand signals in regards to activity that's going on from the customers. What's the top couple of priorities for you there?
Yeah, I think the first is as I kind of mentioned earlier about kind of a data platform approach, right? Being able to handle, you mentioned before, the different, types of data, right? There's some statistic that most of the world's data has been created in the last 2 years, right? And so you've got huge variety, not just the typical, legacy type, but, semi-structured data and a lot of unstructured data. I'm talking about, especially, images and text and video and all this stuff coming in. So having a single point of entry to be able to access and manage that data, right? Single security model has been a big thing that we've talked about, not having a lot of moving parts. I would say the other thing too is looking at when I'm talking to customers about data and their data operations, it's really thinking about it in terms of business processes, organizational processes that are driving creating that data, right? Data is data by itself without context has no meaning. And so as you look across your organizations, one of the interesting things you'll find is that data can have different meaning in different parts of your organization, right? And so being able to take, instead of looking at it from a systems view, which has been kind of the traditional approach, and looking at it from an enterprise view, being able to not just correlate, but create relationships, build ontologies and things like that within your data, within your organization, has been a really interesting thing that I've been watching and working with customers on as well. But I would say going back to the ridge, really being able to manage a wide variety of data coming in at different velocities, varieties, in a single platform. That's really been something that customers don't want to manage 10 different pieces of technology, right? They don't want to have to stitch all that together to make it work. And so having that single point of entry, single model, single platform for all your different types of data to be able to serve that up to your communities of interest, whether they be rocket scientists or geneticists or logisticians, it's been a huge part of what we've been doing at Snowflake to serve our customers.
Interesting catch when you talk about a wide variety of data, right? You know, sort of stuck in those silos being pulled out, but a wide variety of types of data, imagery, you know, audio, et cetera, which is very interesting, and trying to stitch all that together and make it meaningful. No doubt that's a top priority. George, how about at DLA? Give us your top three priorities. Once again, I'm sure no question you've got a long list. Give us the top three that you all are really focusing on over the next 6 to 9 to 12 months.
On the immediate future, next 6 months, our ERP to the cloud migration, that's a big lift for us, moving those big systems to the cloud. And that's a can't fail type mission. The probably another thing is to continue.
If I may, ERPs being, for example,
enterprise
what?
Resource planning. It's our transactional systems.
Okay.
It's really the systems that we use to conduct most of our business, you know, place orders, you know, collect data, just the major systems that run the business, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it. So.
Okay, fantastic.
The second thing is our RPA or robotic process automation program. You know, we've had that going for about 2 years now. We've developed well over 120 bots, most of which are unattended or, you know, fully automated, needing no human or human credentials. But one of the things that we started testing last year and we're ready to roll out and scale this year is creating citizen developers, where, you know, the RPA or bot development software is so simple to use today that we could now put the development of those bots into the hands of the functional community. And our office now doesn't act as a throttle or bottleneck on deploying it. So now it allows you to scale much more quickly, saving, you know, increasing the number of labor hours your bots contribute to the workforce and saving the, you know, human wetware, the human cognitive tasks for something that are much higher order than the rote things that we do with their bots. The other thing that is kind of below the waterline, but important to our users, is to continue to try to improve latency or reduce the latency on their network. We're finding a lot of times, at least in DoD, hopping in and out of the network, going through cloud access, internet access points, and sometimes fairly circuitous routes to get from one point to the next. If we just start doing better path planning and relook at the way our data is flowing, we could shave some milliseconds off and really improve the user experience there. And I think finally, just to reemphasize what Stephen was talking about, I think our big priority is that we are reorganizing the whole DLA around data, because that is the future of the organization for analytics, and data is certainly the feedstock for AI and ML for predictive decision-making. So, as part of that data reorganization, we are embarking on data literacy programs to try to do what we did in the bot program and create citizen developers. We're trying to create some sort of citizen data scientists so they could start, folks out in the functional community areas can start taking control of their own data destiny by, you know, do it yourself. So.
I love the fact that you're giving the warfighters the power and the capability to develop their own RPAs on the ground and heavy lift on that ERP. That sounds like the core system that essentially run DLA globally, which is fascinating. Well, you talked a little bit about response time and latency and hairpins and all these other things So let's go over to Lamont at Verizon and give us an update on the top two or three priorities that that Verizon is really focusing on at this point.
Yeah, thanks. We're definitely looking at trying to make sure we help all of our partners with improving latency, improving how the network runs and is efficient. Sure. And as you guys are much more aware, we're very much pushing on how do we bring the connectivity either through a wireless or a wireline network. We have a lot of emphasis and push on making sure that with 5G and making sure that that effort is moving forward, whether it's bringing fixed wireless access so that we can have the connectivity from any of the different locations so we can move and help facilitate the movement of this data at low latency, or it's, you know, also connectivity for any of these systems and sensors and other capabilities that are out on in places like at airports or at bases for movement of logistics and machines and material going, making sure that there's a way for all the capabilities and technology and the data to move back and forth. So network is definitely key in making sure we have the connectivity piece there. And then security on top of it too as well is very important mission for us, making sure that, you know, there's a zero trust environment built so that, you know, when you know what users are coming in, where the data is going, how you're encrypting and managing that data across the network, and ensuring that, you know, there's zero leakage or zero loss of any of our intellectual property that we have as a nation.
Zero trust out of the box, very important, and we really do appreciate you making sure all that that infrastructure is there and available, so that folks like Jim over at TSA can do what he needs to do and what TSA needs to do. Why don't you give us your top three priorities, Jim? I know there's a lot of activity going on over there right now.
There is a lot of activity going on at TSA, and TSA has a very structured and organized way of thoughtfully looking through all of the various offices and efforts. We refer to that as, so that's called the administrator's intent. The administrator's intent helps us prioritize at TSA, and there's one that we have for improving the business intelligence initiatives. This as well to provide that access to the data, create a way to share data across the organization. We also want to support the federal data strategy to identify authoritative and trusted data sources, create those data stewards, really begin to operationalize the data across TSA. One way that we're doing that, I can talk a little bit later, is through the use of a common lookup service. It's an information service that we've created to pull data out of the applications and then share it across applications. So we want to get more adoption with that common lookup service. And then finally, we want to finish the migration of the iShare to the cloud.
Very much a focus on the cloud. And it's interesting that administrator's intent, it seems like, you know, sort of this North Star, if you will, which is fantastic. Katie, how about at BMC? Can you give us your top couple of priorities that you all are focusing on right now?
Yeah, well, if you listen to what folks have been saying throughout the program, our customers are coming to us wanting to move to SaaS, wanting to move to the cloud. And that's a huge priority for us, a huge focus for us to provide these secure environments that our customers in the federal space need. That's been top of mind for us for many years. We did FISMA back in the day, FedRAMP, and now we're into the impact levels. So that's a priority for us because it's a priority for our government customers. We also are looking at automation. So this goes back to what George said, his top two things were move to cloud and automation. We see that, and we're in leveraging all sorts of artificial intelligence capabilities to help drive that automation, because that automation will help make the missions easier and make the missions more successful for our federal customers. And the last key area, just from a top priorities perspective, is going back to Stephen talking about all of the data and how much there is out there. We recognize that our customers need a way in order for them to be able to understand and validate, and that citizen data scientist that George talked about before, we've got to be able to pull information from multiple sources into a single place where it can help provide visibility into what services it's actually supporting. And so that's a key priority for us. We call it dynamic service modeling, just ingesting information from all different places to show how a service that supports the mission is running and help us automate if things go wrong.
Really is fascinating as we talk about IT modernization on this show. And we used to talk about, you always called it players and wires and plumbing, where, you know, the majority of this conversation is about the data. So really moving up that value chain, which I think is great. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Network.
Snowflake is the FedRAMP approved data cloud. Federal agencies require agility and the ability to securely share data within and among organizations and across multiple clouds. With Snowflake, agencies can focus on putting data to use with unlimited scale and speed on the centralized data platform that satisfies the strictest compliance and security requirements. Start your journey toward data-driven decision-making at snowflake.com/government. That's snowflake.com/government.
Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon, we don't wait for the future, we build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.
Is your federal agency maintaining legacy IT, which could potentially be a cause for security risk? To serve the public with the security, speed, scale, and efficiency they have come to expect in the private sector, it's time to modernize. An expensive rip and replace is not the only way. Migrate your enterprise service desk to the AWS GovCloud with BMC for low risk, low cost, and a rapid time-to-market solution. Modernize with BMC in the AWS GovCloud. Visit bmc.com/federal to learn more.
Welcome back to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Network. We're talking about IT modernization, getting into a lot of conversation about data and a lot of other activities. Wanted to talk about lessons learned. I think that's really important. I'm going to start with you over at DLA. George, give us some lessons learned that you're encountering as you embark on this journey.
Yeah, we have no shortage of lessons learned. So we just don't want to keep relearning the same ones. But I think probably the biggest learning that we've had so far is that IT modernization, or DBX, digital business transformation that we call it, is really not about technology at all. It's really about change management. It's getting people to think differently. And so the things that seem to hold up the progress are less about technology and more about mental models. Mm-hmm. So the soft skills are the things that matters, that seem to matter a lot more in a digital business transformation than the hard technical skills, which kind of sounds counterintuitive when you start thinking IT, everybody thinks it's a, you know, technical field. But getting people to think differently, embrace a new way of doing business, and getting humans just to change in general is a difficult thing. And so when you couple technology to that, sometimes people feel threatened, their jobs may change, their jobs may go away, they may feel that they have to learn, get overwhelmed. Stuff that they've been doing for a long time, habit patterns are changing. So we really underestimated how big of a lift the change management side was, and now we're focusing much more on that.
Interesting to sort of, you know, unblock and untether these folks and allow them just to focus on the art of the possible as they embark into this new modern journey. Robert, how about at NASA? No doubt you've had some lessons learned there as you're rolling out these various capabilities.
Well, it's exactly what George was talking about. It's the people factors. How do we change culture to focus on the important things, whether it's cybersecurity, ensuring we've got secure platforms, we're using common controls, things like that. So it's really that culture. And one of the things I've learned, it's actually been reiterated very, very recently, is culture trumps everything, right? It's not about the technology, it's about getting people to think differently and focus on what are they doing and how are they gonna do it, and that things will be okay in the long run. Yes, we're always going to be changing. So come with us, come on the journey, and we'll end up in a good place. So exactly the way George described it. And again, culture trumps strategy, frankly, every day.
Right. That's sort of that, I always hear about this red law and blue law. You know, red laws, you know, are actually laws in writing. Blue laws are these ones that are sort of just formed over time, let's say. Jim, how about at TSA? Undoubtedly, you have a lot of lessons learned there as you're embarking on the journey of modernizing and doing all the various things, addressing the commander's intent, if you will, the administrator's intent.
Yes, at TSA, we've learned as well that IT modernization really isn't about picking a new application and installing it and rolling it out. We've learned that each application comes along with bolted alongside a brand new data model. So this brand new data model is probably something quite different than your organization's currently using. So if you don't take the time up front to really work looking at the data, and how the data is going to be used, not just the application. The application is certainly important, but the data is what really drives those operations and those operational activities. We know that IT and business do need to work together on these use cases. IT knows part of the solution. The business knows part of the solution. They really need to get together, neither one really understands it all. So not in most cases. So I think that, you know, certainly working together and taking the time up front before you just push the easy button and push out a module will really really help improve operations.
Right. Sort of focusing on that end state in mind and then working your way backwards to, okay, what steps do I need to do to get to this place we're trying to get to? Well, we're going to circle back, and I'm going to start with you, Katie. And we're going to talk about the future, if you will, not 10 years out, probably not even 5 years out. But what does it look like 3 years out? If you want to incorporate, you know, your top lesson learned in there, have at it. But what does it look like for BMC? What's kind of coming out of the petri dish, the demand signal that you're getting? And what does it look like when one looks around? What do you all imagine the environment will be at that state?
That's a fantastic question. And we have been doing significant work with some of our, particularly our DoD partners, in the edge, and however anyone wants to define the edge. Mm-hmm. But really, the concept that we see is going to be, and this isn't just, by the way, for federal, it's certainly not just for Department of Defense, but really for anybody who's got a lot of items in their network that would be considered the Internet of Things. So we're working with organizations, particularly in the DoD, on a concept called a digital twin. So imagine if you take a fighter jet and you use all of the instrumentation that's in that fighter jet and you create a digital copy of that, that you can monitor, that you can automate remediations if something goes wrong. Think about what that means to the warfighter in terms of the ability to get back up and running, the ability to anticipate problems before they happen. And leveraging a foundation of artificial intelligence to help predict that is going to be huge. And that's going to be in the next 2 to 3 years thing. Our innovation labs are working, not, like I said, not just with Department of Defense customers, but also working with energy utilities, thinking about mapping a digital twin of bulk electric system components. So we see that as truly the future, harnessing the power of the instrumentation and IoT to build out something that's going to fundamentally change the way that people manage their infrastructure.
Fantastic. And I'm sure that everyone is happy to hear that, because we know that edge computing, big deal these days, and the IoT, et cetera, collection. Thank you very much for that. Stephen, how about at Snowflake? Undoubtedly, you all are cooking up sort of the next generation of what the ecosystem is going to expect as far as interpreting, processing data, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I think it continues to build on, you know, what you mentioned, the processing of data is in a lot of different ways, right? Because you've got a lot of different types. You've got the traditional, you know, kind of the business intelligence use case, but you're seeing more and more of the data science use case. And data science is really kind of talking about like AI, right? It's kind of a nebulous term, right? It's really about the business. And so when you think about a data scientist is typically going to be a logistician or somebody else that has domain expertise. And so really starting to look at different business and tuning to, like, you know, medical, for example, the healthcare industry or logistics, starting to really focus on automating some of the, you know, and I'll use AI as kind of a broad term, use cases from within the data platform itself to deliver on some of those. So I think over, you know, the other thing I think is you'll see the more of the consolidation of, you know, the data across the enterprise, where you're seeing a we talk about, you hear about 360 views and things like that, but what does that really mean in the context of the business, right? How do you integrate all that and make it in a way that's searchable, that's relatable to the business? And so we talk a lot about the culture, and part of that starts with working backwards from, you know, my customers in that sense are the logisticians and things like that. So understanding what they need to drive value, and you're going to see some of that creep its way back into these, you know, the data platform itself. So it is able to deliver that with the lowest amount of friction possible to that community of interest.
A lot of important things to focus on there. We really do appreciate it. Lamont, we had 3G, 4G, 5G, you know, 3 years from now, it'll be table stakes. Is there going to be a 6 and a 7? I mean, what's it going to look like in 2 to 3 years? What can one expect?
Yeah, I mean, there could be a definite possibility of those. That we're still waiting and working on those and seeing what there are. But a lot of what we're talking about here today, just, you know, I think with the world the way it is today, we've seen a lot of what we thought would be happening 3 to 5 years from now accelerated into today, and how we need to make sure that we have connectivity to all this different type of information that's out there, whether it's being something that's going to be inside of a mobile edge compute to be able to support all these end applications or the real-time focus capabilities that are out there in sensors, or connectivity back to things inside of a what I would say is a traditional brick and mortar data center or cloud infrastructure. How are you going to have connectivity between those things to make sure that people can work where they need to, how they need to, and in the manner that they need to? And a lot of that needs to look at, you know, when we're trying to make sure there's connectivity and these end-to-end view of the solutions, is how do we look at those outcomes? And make sure that we're driving to the outcomes of what those end users are going to be, whether it's in the defense space, civilian space, or anywhere that we work in. We want to make sure that we don't fall back on what we look at used to in the past of silos and saying, okay, what is my specific requirement? I'm trying to, how much bandwidth do I need, or how much compute do I need? It's really, you know, how do those individual technology pieces fit together to drive an outcome for that end user? And that's what we're looking at here at Verizon when we bring in all the connectivity pieces, the security pieces to secure that, and then how, you know, make sure those applications move and flow from where the, you know, the data is to that end user that needs it to complete whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the day comes where, let's say a gym says, look, I just need full motion video in this airport at this time, for this length of time, it just sort of happens, right? There isn't a whole lot of wrangling going on in the background. It just, I'll say, appears based on the capability that you have. Jim, 3 years from now, right? You've got your cloud rolled out. You've got your HR stuff rolled out. What does it look like for a field service director? What does it look like for the traveling public? What does it look like for an application developer in that environment 3 years from now? What's the goal? What's the focus?
For TSA, I'm happy to start from an application developer perspective. We have created a self-service data access for developers. We've created this common lookup service. It includes information because it includes the relations of checkpoints and airports and equipment. It's about 20,000 records. It's refreshed every night. The information that it pulls from also tracks what was the previous value, what's the current value. You know, it's all the data management. Who changed it? When was it changed? We want to use that and other techniques to create trust. I think at TSA, you know, we, until we're able to work across offices better, sharing data, you know, I think that's 2 to 5 years what we'll have in from an equipment standpoint. We will have more sensor technology. We will have more touchless capabilities, but the data still has to tie across the organization. So I think that from a federal data strategy, we will really be able to improve.
Right. I would imagine the day will come when you have sort of this touchless or more touchless environment experience in an airport. And certainly that data needs to be secure, it needs to be collected properly, it needs to be integrated properly so that you can make those real-time decisions and enhance that experience and do it in a meaningful manner and respecting the rights and, you know, civil liberties and all those other things that you have to deal with, undoubtedly. Robert, how about at NASA? You know, are we going to be on Mars in 3 years? Are you going to be in the middle of that? What's going on here? Are we going to the moon? What's happening? Tell us about what it's going to look like in 3 years in regards to your environment and what you can expect to have achieved.
Well, it's interesting. We're not going to be with humans on Mars in 3 years, but the goal is to have within a couple years, 3 years actually, have humans back on the moon, the first woman and the first person of color on the moon. So we're working through the Artemis program very diligently to bring all the pieces together to make that happen. One facet that I find really interesting is the communications. Okay, you know, there's no communication set up on the moon right now. And so we're working on something called LunarNet, which would be essentially an internet communications tool surrounding the moon to give our missions the opportunity, both once they're on the moon and also the orbiting missions, the ability to have seamless communications to and from each other and all the way back to Earth. So that's one of the things that we're focusing on from a telecommunications perspective, is how do we enhance those communications techniques in space to make sure that they're resilient, reliable, and able to transmit vast amounts of data. So that's one of the things that's really on our plate for 2024. Artemis is actually NASA's overall top priority.
That's where you're really focusing a lot of attention. No doubt that you're focusing a lot of attention on just sort of your the bottom layer infrastructure and ecosystem to enable all those things to happen. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yes. And you know, what's interesting is the challenges that we have for space communications. You know, space is a very forbidding place. There's a lot of radiation. There's a lot of changes that are constantly going on, things that we don't think about, something called space weather. And how do we connect back to the Earth? We have transmission stations all around the Earth. And how can we take advantage of commercial solutions to better utilize the commercial products out there rather than build it ourselves? You know, if we've got communications coming in from Norway, we have a tracking station in Norway, do we need to own all the equipment there, or can we utilize the commercial sector to provide those services, tie us into cloud services, and be able to share the data much quicker, get it back to the sources where we need, et cetera. So we're you know, there's a lot of things going on all around the Earth to improve the way we communicate, the way we exchange data, and the way we are able to meet our mission.
And hats off to the private-public partnership that NASA has embarked on over the last few years. George, take us home with Defense Logistics Agency. What are you expecting to see over the course of the next 3 years as you embark on those various activities that you've got going on that you highlighted earlier in the show?
Well, I'll tell you something that I'd like to see is that, you know, this whole conversation today seemed to have a recurring theme of data. So data is pretty much at the center of everything that an organization does. You know, you have software, it produces data, and data is tortured to give you insight and to make decisions. So when I look at our job series codes for a civilian workforce, the civilian classification codes, there is no civilian classification code for a software engineer. There is not one for a data scientist. There's not one for a data architect. There's nothing for data curators. So in a modern knowledge economy where data is at the center of everything that you do, we do not have the ability to get the right people into our workforce because of our civilian classification codes or our civilian personnel system. So in the next three or four or 5 years from now, I would sure like OPM to try to correct that so we could start hiring and recruiting the right talent to help us solve these problems.
Very important area to focus on, because it's all about the talent to enable these various things to happen. It's been a fascinating show, and I just want to thank all of you for fighting the good fight, all the things that you do to make this country safe, secure, et cetera, and taking the time out of your busy schedules to join us for the program. I'd like to thank all of our sponsors for supporting us on this show. I'd like to thank the good people here at Federal News Network that make our program so successful and enjoyable. And most of all, I'd like to thank you, the listening audience out there that tune in every month. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Network.
Thank you for listening to the Federal Executive Forum series on Federal News Network. This show was produced by Trezza Media Group. If you missed any portion of this show, you can listen to the show in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com.